Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. Lord, I just pray that you just calm our spirits right now and just make us mindful of your presence. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for you and your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, that you shower us with those things, and then we're in awe of it. And so, Lord, as we open up your word today, this morning, I pray that you would just draw us even closer to you, Lord, and that we truly would be thankful. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and just say, thank you for being here this morning. There you go. Isn't there something about saying thank you that brings us together? Have you ever thought of that? Being thankful brings us together. It changes our hearts, doesn't it? Just by saying thank you, adjusts everything. It just creates in you I don't know how to describe it, but there is something to it. Have you ever received an invitation to anything? Have you? Of course you have, right? You've been around, right? Maybe it was an invitation to a wedding, whether you wanted to go or not, you know? Maybe it was a birthday party. Maybe it was a Christmas party. But it was something that you were looking forward to, and you got this invitation in your hand. I really think about, like, as a child, if you ever had a child or you're a child and you got an invitation to your friend's birthday party. Do you remember those days? I mean, I experienced it myself as a kid, and then raising through kids to watch them get so excited at an invitation to a friend's party. They were so happy. This morning, I want to give you an invitation to be thankful. I want to invite you to be thankful. I want to do this because it's just a few days before the one time a year which we as a nation gather and say thank you. I think it's a great time of year. I love this type of year. I especially love Thanksgiving, and it's more than just the food. I like that. I'm going to deep fry a turkey this year. Try it. I'm looking forward to that. If I don't burn down the neighborhood, it's going to be fun. But I love what this time of year represents. I love it. I love that we collectively together, just like we just did, and we say thank you. Thank you to each other. We say thank you to the people who have enriched our lives. We say thank you for our jobs and for our opportunities and for our health. We say thank you that we have an opportunity to gather together one more time, because we never know if it's the last time. We get to come together as family and friends, and we get to spend this one time a year where we are just thankful to be in each other's presence. And this morning, I want to encourage you not to rush past Thanksgiving looking to Christmas. Because I think that's happening now. And I wish we just as a nation put the brakes on the whole buying thing and just pause for a minute and say thank you. I mean, it just seems like we're getting Christmas stuff gets out earlier and earlier. But that's a whole nother issue. But I don't want you to lose track of thankfulness. And I don't want it to overshadow us together, collectively saying thank you. And so I want to give you an invitation to say thank you. And I want to invite you this Thanksgiving to be present at Thanksgiving without all the distractions. I want you to think about that. The title of this message is an invitation to be thankful. And this invitation goes out to the whole earth. It's an invitation to know God and to praise Him. This morning's scripture, we're going to look at Psalm 100. And as you open up your Bibles there, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. It would have been sung by the choir as it approached the temple of God. Just imagine it, this choir approaching, singing praises to our God, and they would have continued this song as they were singing through the gates of the temple. What an amazing picture. And this psalm reminds us that God is king, and it is pointing to us to a time when all of God's people will be gathered before the throne of God and will praise him. This morning, I would like us all, you have your bulletin, I'd like us to read from the same version. So we're going to read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And if you have your bulletin, if you just turn it over. And I just like to say, if you're not used to saying the word Yahweh, because that's what you're going to see in this translation, you've been saying variations of God's names for a long time. Have you ever known a Joshua? Have you ever said an Isaiah or Elijah? You've been saying parts of God's name. Or how about this one? How many of you have said hallelujah? You've been saying God's name for a long time. Just didn't realize it. It's all part of those all variations of Yahweh. And it's a part of his name. So when you see it, just think about that for a minute. So stand with me and let's read this together. You have your bulletin. And on the back of the bulletin. And let's read this together, all of us at one time, and I'll lead us. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For Yahweh is good, and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Amen. You may have a seat. Imagine for a minute you are waiting to see the king. I don't know if you've ever been to an event, a big event, and you're waiting for the band or whoever to come out on stage. And there's this huge anticipation that is waiting for this group to come. And this is the picture here. There's the people, everyone is gathered before the throne, and there's great anticipation in the air. And the king makes his entrance, and there's a collective joyful noise that fills the air as they cheer their king. And this is the picture the psalmist is presenting. And the king that has walked out on to the stage is Lord God Almighty. Everyone is there. All of heaven cheers. It's an incredible opening. And for us as Christians, it should serve to point us to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because it is through our Lord Jesus Christ that God is going to gather all the people from all the parts of the world. And he's going to bring them one time before the throne, not just one time, but for eternity before the throne of God. And in Revelation, he gives us a picture of this. He says in Revelation 7, 9 through 11, after this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude of every nation, tribe, people, language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were robed in white with palm branches in their hands. And they cried in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living beings, and they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God. That's the picture of where all who are in Christ will participate in. We'll all be there together. What an incredible picture. We are invited to give thanks to the Lord, and we're invited to know the Lord. You are called by God, rescued, given life, even when you were dead. All of this happened by his wonderful grace. You were slaves to sin, and you were set free, born from above, adopted into the kingdom of God, heirs to a throne, co-heirs to Christ, lifted and seated next to him to display for the whole universe to see his immeasurable grace. You're invited to know God. 1 Corinthians 1, 24 and 31 through 31 says this, yet those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power and God of God's wisdom, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from human perspectives, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish from the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring nothing, what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. But it is from him that you were in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And you are invited to know him. And it's out of this gladness and his greatness of his grace that we serve him. Thus we serve the Lord with gladness, and we come before him with joyful songs. As Christians, we should be, and I'll say this, the happiest people on earth. Do you believe that? We should be singing songs of joy constantly, wherever we go. We should be known for it. We serve the living God, and he's lavishly loved us, and he's showered us with mercy we didn't deserve. The writer of Hebrews describes it this way. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have the boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Christ, by a new and living way he has opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and from our bodies being washed with pure water. Let us hold to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is promised, he who is promised is faithful. We enter through Christ, and we should gladly serve him, because it is by Christ that we have any access to God. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and had a grumpy server? Have you ever done that? Just think about this for a minute. Think if a waiter came over to your table and he was complaining about the owner and about management. If he just started talking like bad mouth and everybody around him. Just think if he started explaining at nauseam how he hated everybody that he worked with. He didn't like him, and he was nitpicking him. And the whole time you knew that he just wasn't even remotely interested in serving you at all. He was just running at the mouth. Now, I know one thing is for sure. It wouldn't matter how good the food is. You wouldn't go back to this place, would you? Probably not, right? Why would you? I wouldn't want that. But isn't that how many times we serve the Lord? Isn't it? We complain about how nobody wants to help. We complain about the management. We criticize others' mess, but we don't even look at our own mess. Because it's easier, right? I mean, it's just human, right? On top of all of this, we're grumpy about it. And we grumble, grumble, grumble. And I'm not just pointing. Remember, I point the finger at you. I'm pointing three at myself. So it's me too. Yet here we have what I love about the scripture. It is reminding us, the psalmist is reminding us to remember that we stand in the presence of God, that we have all the promises, that the faithful, he is faithful when we are faithless. We have everything that we need in Christ, and we can look to him for everything. And that we should be glad that he has provided, he has called us, he has brought us into his presence. And we are his. We have every reason to serve the King with gladness. We enter boldly into His presence. Don't ever take that for granted. That is through the blood of Christ we enter boldly before the throne of God. Nobody enters before the throne of God with boldness. And yet here we have the Scriptures telling us, as Christians, by the blood of Christ, we enter His presence with boldness. And we can lay our petitions before His feet and know that our prayers are heard. And we have that confidence as believers. And it should make us the most grateful people on the planet. From this gratefulness, we joyfully sing. We are His people. And we acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He has made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Humble yourself. When we think about God and who He is, we should be very humble. It should humble us. We should acknowledge Him as our God. He is the great I Am, the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. There's nothing that exists if it wasn't for God. He created it. He put it all together. Psalm 74, 16 through 17 says, "The day is yours, also the night. You establish the moon and the sun. You set all the boundaries of the earth. You made summer and winter." Everything belongs to God. Time, seasons, the stars. The psalmist tells us that he names the star and he placed each one. He did this from nothing. He created everything from nothing. Nothing. And He did this without any outside help. And here's the other thing. He did it without your consent. Or your guidance. He is fully capable of doing whatever pleases Him. He doesn't need our help. And yet He invites us in to walk with Him and walk with us. He is our shepherd. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, I lack. He gives me everything I need. Isaiah 40, I don't know if you've ever heard this verse. Maybe some of you have. Verses 10 and 11. And I just love the imagery here. And as I read this to you, I just close your eyes or just think about what is being said here. Isaiah says, "See, the Lord God comes with strength, and His power establishes His rule. His reward is with Him." Think about that. His reward is with Him. He's the reward. He's the reward. "And His gifts accompany Him. He protects His flock like a shepherd." And listen to this. "He gathers the lambs in His arms, and He carries them in the fold of His garment." That's amazing. "He gently leads those who are nursing." He's with us all the time. God is in control, and we are His people. We are His lambs, those who have placed their faith in Christ. And this is so important for us right now, because I know there's many times in life when it feels like everything is slipping out of control. Do you ever feel that way? I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like the whole world is spiraling out of control. I mean, if you read the news, if you listen to what others are saying, if you watch television, it seems like the world is broadcasting at full volume. Everything is spinning out of control. At least it feels that way, doesn't it? This morning, I want to assure you, God is in control. He is in control. Just this last week, I learned about my brother-in-law that he had been experiencing back pain. And he couldn't figure out what it was. And he went to the doctor and he went to the physical therapist. This was just Wednesday. I was having this conversation with him, and Thursday. So just this week, and nothing was happening. Nothing was helping. No matter what he did, what medicines, everything he tried, this back pain just would not go away. So they decided to do a CAT scan. And they discovered on his kidney a small growth, a small tumor or cyst. And after some more tests, they discovered that it may be cancerous. And they're going to do surgery on him at the end of December. So I ask you to please pray for Art. That's Sharon's brother, her brother-in-law. And they're going to remove it. The growth is very small. It's only like 2 centimeters or 2 millimeters. It's very small. They've caught it right at the very beginning. And out of curiosity, Art asked the doctor if this growth had been causing his symptoms. And the doctor said, "That's impossible. That's impossible. If it wasn't for the nagging back pain that just wouldn't go away, he never would have gone to the doctor. He would have never had a CAT scan, and he would have never discovered a growth that was on his kidney." When he told me this story, I said to him, "God is looking out for you. God is looking out for you." And you could hear when I said that to him, you could hear him break down on the other end of the phone. Because he knows Christ, but he's not walking with Christ all the time. And when I told him that, you could hear it in his voice start cracking. And you could hear his emotions overtake him. Because he realized as he was choking up that God was truly looking out for him. Just think about how God takes care of us. We think we have some pain, something that's going on in life, and he's watching over us and protecting us. We don't even realize it. He's showering us with grace and mercy and love, and we are just oblivious to it. We are his, and we're invited, you're invited, to praise him. These are moments like that. When I hear things like that, I just want to praise God for who he is. And that he is sovereign. He is taking care of his sheep and his lambs. And one of the psalms I love that beautifully illustrates this, and if I was to pick a psalm for my life, it would be Psalm 40. And I love Psalm 40. And this is how it opens. I'd encourage you to read the whole psalm. But here's how it opens. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me." And I love the imagery there. Because I don't know about you. I've thought a lot about that, that he turned to me. Raising kids kind of, you know how, I don't know if you've experienced this as parents, or you have a niece or nephew, or you're around kids. You learn so much about the scriptures by raising a kid. You truly do. Right? Because he turned to him and heard my cry. You know, when my kids were noisy, I didn't pay attention to them because I could hear what they were doing, right? And you didn't really worry about it. When did you worry? When you couldn't hear something, right? And what do you do when you can't hear something? Don't you do this? Huh? And I just see God. I see us at the bottom of the pit. He lets us sit there until we're done struggling. We're done fighting. When we're just calm. We've finally gotten quiet. We finally reached the end of our rope. Have you ever been there? And to think at that very moment, when you're at your wit's end, There's nowhere else to go. You're knee deep in mud and mire, and you can't move no more. You're exhausted. You're tired of the fight, and you finally just sit down. God turns his ear, and he's listening for you. And I love that. He heard my cry for help. He brought me up out of the desolate pit, out of the muddy and miry clay, and he set my feet up on a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and know and put their trust into the Lord. How happy is the man who puts his trust in the Lord and does not turn to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord, my God, you have done many things. Your wonderful works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. Our God loves us. You are invited to praise him. You are invited to praise him, and you are invited to enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for Yahweh is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures for all generations. I should get everyone to say amen. Enter the gates with boldness. Give thanks to his name. My hope right now, this minute, that this joy of God, this awe of God is filling your hearts. That's my hope. My prayer is that this joy would spill over into thanksgiving when you think about what God has done in your life and you reflect on his goodness. Right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit is bringing a thing to your heart and your mind, all the things that he's done for you. Just pause for a moment and just think about what God has done for you. I pray it humbles you, and I pray that it brings you immeasurable joy and a lasting hope. Yahweh is good, and his faithfulness endures. This week, as we close this message out, I pray that this week you would not lose sight of this incredible God. As you gather with friends and family, I pray that you would enjoy their company, even the crazy uncle. We all have one of those, right? Take the time to love them. Take the time to love them. You know, this is the other thing. Be there fully present. I can't say that enough in our country right now. Be there fully present. Put away your phone. Put away all the little distractions and take that day and be fully present with your family. Engage them, talk to them, spend time with them, laugh with them, enjoy each other in the name of Christ. Make it a point to call that relative you haven't called in a long time and just say thank you for whatever, just for being there, for being a friend, for being a part of our family. Thank you. You know, you can't come out and see, we won't see each other. I just want to thank you. Just for your friendship. Share your thankfulness with others. I mean, tell other people thank you. I mean, that's a lost art in our country right now, isn't it? To say please and thank you. But what a powerful thing it is to say thank you to somebody. It means something. It's an open invitation that God has handed to you this morning. It's placed in your hands. And I pray you'll open it and you'll attend. an invitation to be thankful. It's yours. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the psalmist. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that you are so wonderful, Lord, that you are beyond anything we can even comprehend. And I pray right now, Lord, if there's anyone who's heard this message this morning and wants to know you, who doesn't know you, that this morning you just start right now to stir in their hearts. I pray, Lord, as we do an invitation, I know not many churches do an invitation, but we're going to invite you to come forward this morning and place your faith in Christ. We're going to invite you this morning to come to the risen Savior and to trust in what Christ did for you and not what you do, but in what Christ did, that he died on the cross for you, was buried, and rose on the third day. And according to the scriptures, through Christ we are saved by placing our faith in him. And so, Lord, I pray, if there's anyone out there this morning who has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, this morning would be the day of salvation, a day in which they place their faith in Christ. And I pray for thanksgiving. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just stir our hearts to be thankful. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.